Numbers chapter 11. You get there, just give me a minute, and maybe there.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 11, we're just gonna read one verse there, and trust God to help us. I'm gonna read verse 1, chapter 11, and this is what it says. And when the people complained that this pleased the Lord, the Lord heard it, and anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So notice the first part there, when the people complained. I want to preach tonight, if God will help us, on what God thinks about complaining. Now I know as I was studying this, I'm telling you one thing. Man, God was just dealing with their time and showing me some things. We complain more than we like to admit. We do. I find myself sometimes complaining, and I know sometimes we believe it's ultimately innocent. We're going to highlight the context of this for certain, because it's easy to be in traffic and complain about the traffic. I know some of these things tend sometimes to be natural to us, and sometimes they like I'll never defend it, but we have to learn patience, and God has to help us, and we have to grow in this. But everybody in this room today, I'm telling you, this message is for you. Amen. There'll be nobody, I don't plan for anybody to leave this church tonight unscathed by this message. Amen. And we're going to get into it, and we're going to really find out what complaining is. But man, how does God view it? What does God think about it? We're going to try it, see what it is. And this is a part of a larger series about the sort of series I would title this Wilderness Attitudes, because we find all throughout the Exodus there, on through the 40 years of wandering there, we find out that there were certain attitudes that were shown in the life of the children of Israel that we really sometimes like to think of ourselves so much better than they, but you know the book of Corinthians, the way God dealt with them was for our example. The Bible says in King James Version, examples, but it's examples, it shows us how God thinks about these attitudes here tonight. Amen? So once again, just like this morning, it's one of those messages, I just need God to help us. Amen? Because I know God is going to help us and minister to us through it. And I just want tonight, I want you to just give your attention. Let's ask God just to help us right now with this. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we just read in your word, with your help, we'll try to expound upon these verses and even some more verses of the Bible. God, that you would help us tonight, God, to just see how this wilderness attitude affects the church or affects the people. Ask tonight, God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will be upon me, my lips will be anointed, my words will be. God, I don't want to say anything other than what you want said, no more, no less. But God, I do need your help, Lord Jesus. Help this congregation. Help us as a church. Lord, we love you with all our heart. We do thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.
So tonight, as we look at this, complaining, we're going to define it and talk about it tonight. Complaining is an attitude choice that if left unchecked, will wither my capacity to experience joy and genuine thankfulness. You must understand tonight, as we're going to discuss this word we call complaining, we've got to understand a few things about it and how God views it. I'm not going to wait to get to the end of this message for you to wonder about that. I want you to understand that God hears it, God hates it, and He allows anyone who persists to complain or have a habit of complaining, He will allow you to live in the wilderness, so to speak, in your life if you are a person that decides to live there. But if you ever wonder when it comes to complaining, have you ever thought about this, that why complaining is such a battle, when we all agree that complaining does absolutely anything or nothing to change the situations that we're often in. And I will tell you tonight, the reason that we often find ourselves complaining, or can find ourselves easy in complaining, the reason that is because it satisfies something inside of us that sometimes we like to say that is not there. Complaining releases this negative energy in a way that almost provides this momentary relief inside of us. We feel for a moment, we feel this relief from a situation or circumstance that may be frustrating to us, and that's why you find it so hard to resist, because you crave that
that temporary relief, if you would, from that situation. We often, you know, I don't care what you like to term. It amazes me sometimes. In the church world, somebody said, well, I don't complain, I just like to vent. Or I don't like to complain, I just like to get some things off of my chest. And friends, however you would like to define it or label it, man, it drives me crazy sometimes. No, yes, it is complaining. I don't care what label you want to put on it or how you want to paint it to make yourself look better. It is complaining. Amen. As I looked at my life even this week and I was praying and studying, I got down and prayed. I said, Lord, do I really complain? Or am I just venting? Or am I just trying to get it off my chest? And I said, yes, Lord, I do complain at times. You complain too. Don't worry. You will find yourself here in a few moments. And if you can, you're amazing. If you can escape this message tonight, you're a con artist and escape the triune God in. Because we're going to find it and touch it tonight. No matter if you're an extrovert, introvert, whoever you are, we are going to find it tonight, and we're going to touch it, and we're going to try our best to highlight it to you tonight. So understand this, number one, complaining is an attitude choice. It is a choice in your life. You choose your attitudes, and yes, you do. They don't choose us, we choose them. That frustrates some people sometimes because nobody wants to be told that your attitude problem is in the mirror. Or something that is inside your character is really something wrong with you or inside of you. And we have to face the facts that we choose what attitudes we allow to live our lives and we'll never be able to choose differently. As a matter of fact, you have the same spirit as those that say, look, I was just born this way if you believe that. And anybody ever tried to say this before? Where my mama had an attitude or my daddy had an attitude, so I have an attitude. You ever heard that before? I've heard people even say, well, I've got Irish in my blood. I've heard people say that before. That's why I get so mad or so frustrated. Now, I will tell you this today. Even though you can be raised in environments where you can be influenced, when you get on the edge of accountability, hear me, you choose what attitudes you allow to live in your life. Wouldn't it be much easier if we could say, well, it's my mom's attitude and I've got it, or it's my dad's fault and I'm this way, or it's my boss, or it's my neighbor, or it's my circumstances, or it's the preacher. No, it is you that has an attitude. It is me that has an attitude. When we begin to label these circumstances and situations in our life, you can't blame it on your mom or your daddy, the preacher, the church, God. You can't blame it on genetics. If you didn't blame it on genetics, you're blaming it on God. So no matter how you get around it, or try to define it, or try to label it, you choose your attitudes. And once again, yes, you do. You choose them. They did not choose you. Yeah, folks, again, I'll say it. You may have been influenced at a certain age. You may have been influenced at a certain time. But guess what? You're not born an alcoholic, and you're not born a complainer. It's there. Yes, we understand that in the fallenness of humanity, there's certain tendencies, yes. But you choose which attitude you allow to live in your life.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But sometimes I've met people that say, well, I don't have an anger issue, but boy, you can find another anger issue. Sometimes we like to sanitize some issues in our lives, but boy, we love to highlight everybody else's. And we have to be careful because understand this today as I read this to you, and when the people complain, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So notice this, here is this group of people on the outskirts of this makeshift city. They were whining and grumbling about something. Maybe it was Moses, maybe it was his leadership style, or maybe it was the food or the weather, whatever it was, it angered God and he burnt them up. And if this doesn't tell you how God feels about complaining, I don't know what verse in the Bible will show you. God hates and will judge those that are consistent and habitual complainers in their life. He will judge those. He will not allow you to live that way. He is going to deal with that attitude in your life. So understand this today, because as I began studying this week, I was trying my best to find a sufficient definition of what complaining really is. Now, I'm not just going to talk about staying too long at the red light, or you get mad or get frustrated about being in the drive-thru. I'm going to highlight to you a wonderful biblical definition definition of what complaining is, and I would ask you please to listen to this definition as I read it to you a few times. Complaining is expressing dissatisfaction with a circumstance that is not wrong and about which I'm doing nothing to correct. Let's hear it again. Complaining is expressing dissatisfaction with a circumstance that is not wrong and about which I am doing nothing to correct. That is what complaining is. Number one, let's break down this definition. Complaining is about things that are not wrong. You get that? Complaining about things that are not wrong. If the thing is wrong and you express dissatisfaction, then it's not complaining. Amen. If the thing is wrong and you express dissatisfaction, that is not complaining. I would say to you today, it is not a sin to pick it at an abortion clinic. That's not complaining. It's not a sin to say to my spouse, we need to spend more time with the children. That's not complaining. You get cold food in a restaurant and you kindly ask the waitress to bring more of your food. That's not complaining. That is a legitimate grievance. That's asking something that's really within context, something that's not bad. If you're paying money for food, it's as nice and kindly ask the waitress, can you please warm this back up for me? So that's what complaining is, number one. It's complaining about things that are not wrong. But number two, complaining about things which I am doing nothing to correct. I'm choosing to whine about it, but I'm doing nothing to correct the situation that I'm whining about. Follow me for another few moments. So it is complaining to cry about abortion all the time if you're not praying about God to fix the solution. It is complaining, and yes, it is complaining if you're crying about abortion, but you never vote to do things better, you never give donations, you never support anything to try to do away with it. It is complaining to bust at your spouse about not spending time with the children, but not talk to your spouse to come to a constructive way to improve the situation. That is what complaining is. It is complaining at the restaurant when you get your food cold or you don't like it, and you look over somebody and say pretty loud, and say, this food stinks. That is complaining. Or maybe you look at the waitress. What do you call this? Is this what I ordered? You see the difference in kindly asking her, ma'am? This isn't what I thought it was. Can you rewarm this? But you look at her and said, well, there goes your tip. That is complaining. You know, I've never understood that sometimes in the church world. There's some people that are pretty mean folks at restaurants. Amen. You don't know the cook in the back there may just be going through a divorce. You don't know he may be trying to juggle two kids at the house because his wife left. You never know the situation. So I would encourage you in those situations there. Instead of complaining, you can be constructive. It would be complaining for me to look at Holly one day and say, you're just sorry and you don't ever do anything to help. That would be complaining. And yes, she just gave me some eyes. It would not be complaining to look at my wife and say, sweetie, we need to do more with the kids. You see the difference? The difference is, yes, I'm complaining. It's nothing wrong with just showing a little dissatisfaction, but complaining of those things I'm doing nothing to fix. It's like, once again, saying those two things. It's complaining when you fuss about prayer being taken out of the school. I mentioned this to you last week, but you don't do enough praying at home. It's complaining when you cry about the church, but you don't worship yourself or don't lead yourself a better example. It's complaining when you constantly discuss how the church is not what it used to be, and you're not full of the Spirit, and you're not leading the fiery example where the church should be. Basically, you're complaining when you can only highlight the problem, but you never give a fleshly, fleshing out an active and fiery good example of how something should be fixed. I've got to deal with me on this one. All right, I'll be transparent with you. We've got to just quit naming the problems and quit. We all don't want to name the problem, but never have a solution. I've come to find out that if I'm going to criticize somebody, I need to have something better to tell them to do. And if I can't, if it ain't the season to tell them, I'll at least leave such a wonderful example of that that somebody looks at me and says, man, how dare do it? There's something good about that. So we got to be careful at times that we're not just labeling the problems or whining or complaining about the problems without having the solution. God not only wants us to be able to highlight the problems, He wants you to be able to show a nice, great example of what the solution should be as well. So don't just tell me the problem. Show me a solution to how to complaining involves dissatisfaction. Now, this includes a lot more than just weak CI, please believe me. Some people pride themselves on verbal control, which is good. There are some people that are what we would call extroverts, and there are those who we call introverts. I find myself being more of the former. Sometimes I just talk too much. Anybody else here? I see a few hands. Thank God. What I mean by that is, oftentimes I find myself saying more than others, and I have to apologize sometimes, or being outspoken, too quick to speak, or often make stress too much, or say too much at the wrong time. And sometimes I find myself having to go back and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said all that.
Yeah.
Amen. And I've learned over the years to tone that way, way back. I used to think you could tell everybody what was on your heart. They respect that. I used to think that you could express yourself and your vision and what you think things ought to be. And people would just eat it up and agree with you. But I come to find out there's different opinions in this world. There's other thoughts than what Derek Jones thinks. So even though I'm an extrovert, sometimes there's people that'll say, well, I don't say much as you do, Brother Derek, but I'm going to talk to you if you're an introvert today, that you're not living in victory just because there's a piece of tape over your mouth. Doesn't mean you're victorious and the greatest example. Notice this. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You may not say as much anything to someone else, but you can roll your eyes and give certain looks and that you may justify, but guess what? You're just as much as a complainer as somebody else. We believe in sanctification, right? We say, God, sanctify that mouth and tongue. God, sanctify our looks. I mean, there's some people that can roll their eyes back and think that things go like a flip. How did I say that? I'll see before you get into spread, you say something all that, they're just. And you're like, okay, you didn't say anything, I know. But I just seen that. Amen?
Amen.
Oh my. Yes, there's some of us that talk too much. But there's also some that don't ever get the solution out any either. They roll their eyes or then they make a face. But guess what? If you're an extrovert or an introvert, you do not get away with this. There are some who would never say something verbally, but they have a way of getting their point across to everyone else who will notice. So I want to just give you a brief summary of this. So complaining is not just an outburst of frustration, but it's also those things that we think in our mind. That's complaining too. The effects are deadly not only to the church, but to us. With those who we influence, we can almost become toxic. Then we affect others. You get mad when others don't see it your way, or you develop a spiritual complex that the issue is worse than what it really is. So I'm going to get you to ask yourself a few questions tonight. Ask yourself this. Is the circumstance for a fact wrong? And number two, what are you doing constructive to change the circumstances in this world that we're living in? Yes, we are complainers. Yes, that's in the church world. Complaining is an issue. So let me give you the truth about complaining today. Complaining is a sin. I'm going to say that again because sometimes instantly, I did it too, don't worry. I said, is it really that bad? Come on. Lord, when I see that, I'm not killing nobody. I'm not committing adultery. Is complaining really that bad? Well, God thought so right here. He's killing folks. Complaining is a sin. It is a sin. Yes, it is. A sin is something that's missing the mark and not regarding God's holy standards and just demands. So when you complain, guess what? It is, and it's a sin. And many people object, say something like this. Complaining is a sin. I mean, it's not some great big thing about lying or murder or stealing or blasphemy. And guess what? Yes, there are obvious sins. But who am I hurting? And they'll say something like this. If I'm complaining, who am I hurting anyhow? It can't be a sin. Are you kidding? Number one, you're hurting yourself.
Yes.
And yes, you are.
Yes.
You're hurting yourself because our complaints often lead to anger and bitterness and even depression. Complaining does nothing good. It is not constructive. You only hurt yourself because the more that you complain, and you always agree with yourself if you notice that. You can make a grievance in your mind. You can bring up something in your mind and you say, you know what? They shouldn't be doing that, and yourself will say, amen. There's sometimes you can say to yourself, and say, well, I can't believe this or that. All of a sudden yourself will come up and just join you right there and say, that's right. You're hurting yourself, because as you compliment your complaining, as you grow in your complaining, it becomes habitual. As it becomes habitual there, you begin to justify. As you begin to justify, you become angry. As you become angry, you become bitter. As you become bitter, you find out that's not getting anywhere. And you become depressed about the bitterness and the anger that you've grown in your heart, because the pattern becomes habitual. Yes, it's complicated, but it's true. It's that simple. And when you complain, you hurt yourself. Guess what? You hurt other people as well.
Yeah.
You ever notice how much people can influence others? It's amazing what the cell phone has done to the church world. Usually you had to wait to get home to call. I've met people, they get right out of the church. I'm not saying here, you know, man, they'll call them all the way home. How was service? Well, it was all right. Now be careful. Because complaining is just like that. You hurt people that hear you. Guess what, brothers and sisters? It affects others. If your friends and family hear you complain all the time, you are bringing them down, and at times you help to stimulate patterns in their own life. You complain and the person says, oh, I know. That's right. There's always somebody in the church or somebody in the world that's going to look at you when you make a complaint. And they'll say, oh, I know all about it. I've seen it. I've heard it. I know it. So we have to be careful, because we find ourselves complaining, and when we complain, it stimulates these patterns in our own life and others, and you find yourself being that person that looks like you're spreading this negativity. And I will tell you this, nobody likes a negatron. Nobody likes nobody that's negative all the time. I can't stand it sometimes. I know there's negative times in life, or times when you're a tragedy, your circumstances, or situation. But guess what? There's some people in this world that are negative all of the time. They'll give God glory one time, and then they give 20 things that are wrong. And they'll say, well, I'm making it. And then they'll say, you know what? You wouldn't believe this. You wouldn't believe that. How you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. God's helping. And sometimes if we're not careful, our negativity overrides our spirituality and the influence of the river that is flowing out of us. It's more of a negative thing than a negative influence than when it should be positive and holy and pure. God's looking for a whole conversation, a pure conversation, something that is righteous in the mind of God. We must not be a negative-minded person or negative-minded people, because it is always dangerous, not only to ourselves, but to others. Not only did that happen, a lot of times people overlook this. You hurt God indirectly. Don't you follow me right here? Because complaining, basically, is questioning the sovereignty of God. When you complain about these situations at times, and like I said, once again, we don't need to justify the frustration at the stoplight, because that may be the beginning stages of it. But sometimes things that are more important or things that are more heavy, we find ourselves fine. Be careful. You can find yourself complaining. And what you're doing there, you can question God's sovereignty. And in fact, you're saying something like this: God, you had a chance to meet my expectations, but you couldn't handle it. Nice try, God. Close, but not close enough. And people say, I would never say that to God. You're saying that to God when you complain. God, you blew it. You had an opportunity to meet my standards of what I thought should be, but you didn't meet those standards. God, I don't know why you didn't show up. I don't know why my brother Lazarus is dead. I don't understand this. And look, sometimes those things may be natural to us, but you've got to defeat them by the Spirit of God. We must not live with a complaining mentality.
Amen.
Indirectly. Let me give you a fine example. Anybody here that's a parent, you know the best for your children, right? And those of you that have nephews or nieces or people, you want the best for them. But you know, there's been a few times in my life as a child, I did not appreciate the things that my father did for me. And there's a few times that I knew my dad drives an hour and a half every day to Hampton or Chesapeake. Different places, locations. I remember being younger. I mean, my dad would work 6 days a week, working sometimes. I remember when they were putting together one of the asphalt plants there. I believe it was somewhere over there in Virginia Beach. And one time he said he worked like 90 to 100 hours that week while driving back and forth. But you know, there were times as a kid, I didn't really appreciate the blessings that were in my life. Who won't reach those?
That's right.
But I remember one time it hurt my dad when I was little, and I was sharing with the team class this morning, my dad made me work on Saturdays. He'd get us up, and he said, look, you got some things I need to do. And I remember thinking to myself, I remember one time saying to my dad, I wish you'd go to work. I realized it hurt me. Because he was doing everything he could to provide for me.
Right.
So it'd be equivalent, if you don't mind me just giving you this hypothetical example, it'd be equivalent to maybe a father has worked hard to give his kids something very nice, and as he walks into a conversation between his children, the children would say something like this, I wish Dad had a better job, or I wish I had better clothes, and you know what, that would hurt that father, because he's doing everything he can, but you know what I found out as well, that hurt there sometimes turns to a righteous, and guess what, it isn't justified, frustration, and my dad would get on us sometimes.
Right.
He said, you have the nerve, son. I've worked all week long to get those shoes for you, and you're not going to wear them. You're going to wear them. But dad, I don't like them anyway. That's what a nerd would wear. You know, so as a kid, you sit there and say this or say that. No, son, I don't care. You're wearing it. So what it is, even though it hurt him, he realized being the one in a greater position, he had to correct that mentality within me and say, look, even though it hurts me, yes, but I also realize this, that I cannot allow that complaining mentality to live in the mind of my children. So I've got to touch that as well. I've got to get that out of them. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, us as imperfect parents are affected. Think how your heavenly father is affected.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes he gets hurt by our complaining. God, I don't understand why. What would you allow this for? God, I need better than this, God. Or this house, Lord. Or this car. Or my family. And the whole time you're complaining, I'm telling you the heart of God is there. And it gets hurt. And he feels that complaining because he's given you everything. It hurts his heart. But then there's the righteousness of God. It says, I cannot let that live in my children. I must chastise them. I must allow them to taste some affliction. I must allow them to taste something so they'll really know that what they had was better than what they thought. That the situation they were in, they would look glamorous after they're going through the trial or going through the fire. Sometimes God will allow you to taste the bitter affliction of life that you can realize, I really do have it good. You appreciate a meal when the food's not there anymore. Come on.
Yes.
You appreciate help when you're sick.
Yes.
You appreciate family when they're gone.
Right, right.
But all throughout life, God is working on that. He's dealing with that. He is adjusting that. He's perfecting that. He is getting that out of us that you can realize sometimes the minute, teeny tiny things that we complain about or whine about, God allows us to know, look, it's nothing to me. Is it even wrong, number one? Is it a problem? I've given you my son. I've given you everything. Quit complaining about life. So we notice this today. God is listening, brothers and sisters. Notice that God heard every word of the complaint from the children of Israel. It says when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. He was there. The people ignored the fact that the pillar of cloud was there and the pillar of fire was there. It was a visible representation of the nearness of God. It was an awesome sign of His nearness. But instead of taking that nearness, something is wonderful, and appreciating the blessing of the manna and His protection and His deliverance from Egypt, they took it for granted. And guess what? This was a habit all through the life of the children of Israel. When they got to the Red Sea, they complained.
Mm-hmm.
When they didn't have any water, notice, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And the children of Israel, in chapter 16 of Exodus, the children of Israel said unto him, would to God that we had died in the hand of in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread, the fool, for he had brought us forth in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Exodus 17:3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? They always complained. I was reading through the Bible, reading some things about this. I want you to notice, man, it's almost like the children of Israel should have wrote a hymnal about complaining. Well, because they could do it. Yeah, has anybody else read about the children of Israel and thought to yourself, why? But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if we are not careful, we are of the same nature. Thank God we're born again and washed and cleansed and be made righteous before Christ, but we have to be careful. Because just as they were going out of Egypt, it can be in your own life as well. So over and over we read it, and the people complain. They would say, why can't we have more of this? Or when are we going to get some of that? And why don't we see that we need or what we need? And why didn't you let us go here? Or can't we know this? This isn't right, and that's not right, and you should have. And these complaints are ringing in the very ears of the Creator. It's like all of a sudden God is there. He brought them out of Egypt, and they're constantly complaining. It's like a chorus going up to heaven. It's like a ringing in the ears of God constantly. But I want you to see something here. Because just in case you feel justified in complaining, I hope nobody does. Because there will be some people who said, well, I've got a right to complain because I'm going through something. Right? And some people said, well, you don't know what I'm going through, so it's easy for you, Brother Derek. Let me just read this to you. I'm going to show you a difference in the original language, how Numbers chapter 11 and 1 reads. All right? That's what it says. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the kingdom. I did a little studying because I thought to myself, Lord, that's pretty. You know, you burned them up, didn't you? Yeah, he did. But notice what it says when you get into the original language. This is how it reads. Now the people became like those who complain and whine about their hardships. The words there in the original language conveys to us they're not only complaining, but they're complaining and whining about hardships. And the Lord heard it. So notice this today. Everyone in this room, you have a measure of adversity in your life of some sort. To be physical. It can be family, it can be personal, it can be mental, it can be spiritual, you can be hurt, you can be going through a trial, you can be going through a battle. You have a measure of some sort of adversity in your life. It can be something that's going on that you can't even describe. But understand this today, that everyone in this room has a measure of adversity in your life. You understand this, God has measured it out. He knows about it. He sees it. And he will not put more on you than what you can bear. So we keep that in mind today. So don't let us be marked as complainers. God does not mind you coming to him for strength and wisdom and even to talk to him and ask questions. But you are not to complain about God as if he is wrong or do not know where you're at or what you're going through as if he has failed you. That is complaining. Go to God in prayer. And James, in the wonderful book of James, the Proverbs of the New Testament, tells us, if you need wisdom, and he's talking about your wisdom in a trial, ask God for wisdom. Has anybody ever been in a trial before and you just didn't know anything? You're like, man, it's coming. What you know he means? And ask God, Lord, I don't understand it. He don't mind that. But that looks a lot better than you point your finger at God and say, you're wrong. Or God, I can't believe you've done this. But if you're not doing it to God, you're doing it indirectly, you go to somebody else you complain about. Here it is, the children of Israel never really complained to God, the boy that talked to Moses. Here it is. It's almost like he says to the children of Israel, it's almost like they're about to say something to the Lord. They're like, where's Moses? Where's he at? We got to find him. Moses, you allowed this. Moses, you did this. But when they're talking about Moses, who are they really talking about? So before we feel justified, we have to be careful. And we also must understand this. God still hates complaining in 2017. Notice God's response to those who complained. God's anger was kindled. Fire of the Lord burned among them. Consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And again, this is not an isolated event. You find this in Numbers chapter 11. It says that Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of the tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly against them. They're outside their tent crying, They're sick of eating manna and won't quail. Oh, really? Something to complain about, right? You know when God gave them quail? Until it came out of their nostrils. If you don't mind me putting it in just plain old country terms, until they puked it up. I'm not trying to be sick. Have you ever heard it? I'm not trying to be nasty here, but you ever grown up and they come out your nose and your mouth? They had enough quail, guess what? They tasted it again. It tastes better the first time. That's what complaining will do to you. You know, sometimes you complain and God will give you what you want, but you find out what you get, when you get what you want, it's not really what you want in the first place. Oh, there's some women, oh, I really need to marry that guy. I have to marry the Lord. Please, Lord. And God says, no, he's not even saved. He might even say, no, he's not been gospel. And sometimes they'll sit there and say, oh, Lord, please, please. And they get him all of a sudden, it is a door. Now, any of them come to church, all these things, and guess what? You got what you wanted. But you're going to find out what you got. You're really not what you want in the first place. That good place for the men. Remember that? Sometimes we beg God for so many things because we're complaining. God gives it to us, and guess what? We find ourselves just like a true individual. Notice again in Numbers 11:33, and while the flesh was hit between your teeth, as it was true, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. God hates complaining. How do you know that, Brother Derek? Because he worked for the sons of God of it. He didn't do that because he just got frustrated and just flew off the handle. No, he was sick of hearing their mouth. He was sick of their complaining. So I know this is simple in life. I'm not going to exhaust the subject under my limits. But before you dismiss yourself from this sermon, I want you to search your heart. Do you complain? I found myself, well, last 2 weeks I would study for this message for a few weeks. I found myself complaining. Lord, forgive me, man. Even that sister, I asked Holly, I said, Holly, you know, you've got to be careful. I've got two healthy children. I know they're crying their heads off right now. One is you. And you've got to change the diaper over here. Sometimes it's like, man, I'm all worn out over here. I can't take it up there. I found myself, Lord, I've got two healthy kids. So let me tell you how you defeat complaining. We don't only ask God to remove an attitude. If he can help us do that, and we'll do it. But anytime you remove an attitude, you need to replace it with another. Let me tell you what the devil don't want us to understand. That when you're truly thankful, that complaining doesn't have anything to do with it. What do you replace complaining with? Genuine thankfulness. Choose a ritual. If you don't really understand this concept, it probably is giving you that. It is sustaining you. It's keeping you. And instead of complaining about the quail, eat the manna. Do you know manna is a type of Christ in the Bible? You can study it. So if you're doing symbolism or typology here, we can say, look, they're complaining just about the basic provision that God gave them. You know, God has given us basic provision, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven. You can live. I don't want to complain about the basic provision of God. I want to be a thankful person. Amen?
Amen.
So let's ask ourselves these questions. Number one, before you dismiss the sermon and say, well, Brother Derek's preaching something like this, it's to you. It's to me. We must stop it.
Yes.
We gotta stop it. Notice, ask yourself this question. Number one, am I a complainer? Ask yourself that question. Be honest. Am I a complainer? Complaining can be hard to see in ourselves at times, especially when it has reached a habit stage. When we complain, we say, well, I'm just getting it off my chest. Somebody else complains. We would advise them, that's not going to do anything good. I'm glad we got spiritual advisors in the church of England. They do good to advise yourself as well. I am a preacher of the gospel. I preach to myself all the time. It's unique. I tell myself all the time, no, Brother Ben. No, you cannot. No, that's not right. No, you can't let that live. No, you can't let that in your home. You've got to tell yourself all the time. Look, you've got to ask yourself, look, it may be hard. It may be a blind spot in your life. We may justify it in our own lives. We may be graceful and merciful with ourselves. But how about when we are honest before God? Am I a complainer or not?
Am I expressing dissatisfaction? Number two, am I reaping any consequences in my relationship with God because of my complaining? Ask yourself that question. If your life lacks joy, if you feel like you're in a dry spell, if there's a sense, if you don't feel a sense of favor or His presence in your life, or ask God to shine His wonderful light, a light upon the landscape of your soul, and ask the Lord, is there something in here that I'm complaining too much? Ask God these questions. Be surprised when you ask God, He'll show you. When He will tell you, number three, we'll close with this. Number one, my complainer. Number two, I'm suffering any consequences from this? Number three, are you willing? Are you willing to repent about it? There were some people who instantly might say, well, complaining's not a sin. I don't think I'm complaining to others. No, I'm not asking for that. Be honest. Brother Eric Jones has done some great ones. I want to do better in this area. I don't want to complain as much. I don't want to express this dissatisfaction. And my, you know, I do it all the time. Hey, we need a revival. We need a revival. Well, you know what? I'm a preacher. Why can't we have a revival? There's a solution to that. Get down and read, get prayed up, get filled up, and have a revival. There's a solution. The solution, not just to bust about it or argue about it or keep saying we need to do it. Let's have a revival. Come on. Am I willing to turn from the attitude of complaining, acknowledge its wrongness, and ask God to change my attitude? Now, as I'm closing right here, if you would stand with me.
Amen.
I know it's different. But there's sometimes that I was praying and studying and even going through so much different writings and teachings. There's some of these things that never get addressed in churches. Complaining is a sin. It is. And then if you say it's not, I would love for you to just take the Bible and show me what God says. Man, I love that complaining. It glorifies me. Please show me. If you'll find that verse, and I ain't talking about something that you can paraphrase a verse, and it's amazing some other people what links they'll go to try to prove me wrong. Show me something in the Bible where God says, I love that about you. Man, let it grow in you. It's a fruit of the Spirit, yes. It's works of the flesh. Amen. It's works of the flesh. So I'm asking three questions to you. Am I a complainer? Am I reaping any consequences? Am I willing to repent? And you know, I've been in the Old Testament for this sermon. I've been there. And this is how it ends, all right? They complain and God burns them up with a fire. Boy, that's my stuff, right? How many of those were in the New Testament? Yes, God did judge those people. We see the heart of God against complaining. How many appreciate the grace of God right now?
Amen.
That if you are like Derek Jones, you've searched your heart some of these last few weeks, and you said, man, I don't need to complain. I find myself sometimes complaining. It's all right. You go to the Lord. You've got to ask Him, the Father. You know, there's right now, God not in heaven like Zeus, a lightning bolt, for just a frowning and let you right now. Matter of fact, He's saying, you know what, you can do better than that. Matter of fact, you are better than that. Because I don't agree with it, but I want to help you. Yes, Lord. I preached this sermon now, and last week I found myself studying for this. I still found myself complaining with you, these. But no further did it get too far out of my mouth before I felt my heart check and said, you know what? My mind is fresh on this topic right now. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Don't complain about the car you're driving. Alicia's going. Don't complain about the washing machine, Brian. Because I've been in Africa, and guess what? It's a lot better. You can have the oldest ones in the room, and guess what? It's doing better than what they got to do in a bucket. Before you complain about anything, brothers and sisters, be thankful. And know that God as a Heavenly Father is looking at us and making provision for us. And it hurts Him when we complain. But not only does it hurt Him, when you make it a habit and you let it live, He will judge it. Everybody with me? Amen. What I want to do is simple. I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I complaining? Come to this altar. Amen. Let's ask God to help us. Everybody with me? Don't mind your voice to pray.
Let God help you.